those of you that are seamstresses, I don't know that they're, it seems to me in former era, a lot of people used to be seamstresses. Everybody had a Singer sewing machine and that kind of stuff. And I think I remember seeing these paper patterns in envelopes you pull out, and they were kind of yellowed tissue paper. And you would say, well, what is that? And they said, well, that's the pattern. It's the pattern. Those of you maybe that do some construction work, or maybe even model airplane building or cars or whatever the case may be, anything in which you are dependent upon a pattern or a guide, maybe a blueprint, if you will, that the product that is generated, that which comes about, is only as proper or correct or precise as the pattern is correct. So a little bit off on the pattern can, certainly when you are augmenting the scale of the model, it can really get things out of whack. A little bit of variance on the pattern can end in a catastrophic result with the product. The Lord says to us today in this Easter time, this is the fifth Sunday now of this great season of Easter. We don't want to certainly forget where we are and what we're celebrating, that we are celebrating, you know, 10 more days of Easter than there is of Lent. So that should tell us something about the church's emphasis about what is the greater, the penance or the resurrection, the death or the resurrection. Let's keep our minds and our hearts in this season of resurrection, in this season of joy. In this season, today especially, would be the season of love. I have been talking throughout this Easter season that the accomplishments and the works of the early church, today we heard about Paul and his journeys, but the early church, the apostolic church, was an impressive band of apostles. They were attractive. They were persuasive in front of the peoples. Thousands of peoples, hundreds of peoples would gather to simply be in their presence because of their faithful witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that, and it's not so much that way with us now, right? That people are not so impressed with the lives of us, the apostolic church. We have kind of lost some of our luster, possibly. We have somehow maybe become less impressive as witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so on these various weeks of the Easter season, I think I started out by saying that forgiving, being forgiving people, that would really be impressive. That would really show them something. If we really began to forgive, that would really get people's attention. And then I think I went on to some notion of restoring people into positions or relationships of trust after they've offended us. That's even better than forgiving. That's moving toward reconciliation. That would really be impressive. If we could begin to entrust our lives to those who have even offended us and sinned against us, if you will. It was just last weekend I was talking about the hand, taking others in hand, if you will. Take my hand, communion. That if we could embrace one another in the world in the way that God has taken us in hand, in His hand, with comfort and strength and courage and consolation, well, that might be impressive. That might be impressive. And today, of course, the gospel and Jesus' instruction to His disciples, the Last Supper. Judas left them, and there they were, and he said, oh, by the way, love one another. I give you a new commandment, he said, love one another. And he ended the gospel saying, this is how they'll know that you're my disciples, is if you have love for one another. In my preaching and teaching on this Lent and Easter time, I've had some serious conversation with people, and they say, you know, Father, we never heard until 40 years ago, until the Second Vatican Council, we never heard about the love of God. All we heard about was the punishment of God, or the trouble with God, or something, I don't know. But now, you know, in your big love of God this, love of God that, you're always talking about the love of God. You know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need a little bit more, you know, trouble from God. A little fire and brimstone, a little bit of threat of going to hell, that'll really shake them up. I don't think so. I'm not convinced. Today, of course, would be one of those reasons that I am not convinced. I am convinced otherwise, that it is the love of God that is the transforming power in our lives that might lead us to a life of eternal salvation. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Now, to be honest with you, and the experts in the scriptures, even the fathers of the church from the second and third century, they say, wait a minute, new commandment, it's no new commandment. Moses was commanding us to love God in the book of Leviticus and your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, Jesus in other places has said, what's the greatest commandment? And they said, well, these are the first, to love God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, makes sense. So wait a minute. Well, what's this new thing? Love one another. I'm not sure that I get the newness in that. But then he said, as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. Wait a minute. As I have loved you, this seems like it's one of those trick questions. Did you go back and read the instructions? Did you look at the pattern that has been set down for us? That I'm not talking about just love of God and neighbor as you love yourself. This is something new Jesus is talking to us. Jesus says that we ought to love one another as He has loved us. Wow. Well, now what's the pattern? This is something new. This is the pattern that they will know, therefore, that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not just any old love, not just your regular old human love that you've been struggling with for all these millennia. No, this is going to be the love that I have for you. As I have loved you, you ought to love one another. Wow, the pattern. And so what we know is because people have asked us, Jesus, what does it mean to love? And he said, well, I'll tell you what it means to love. To lay down your life for your friends. And so we come back to the Last Supper, the sacrificial, self-sacrificing gift of His life. This is how you are to love one another, as I have loved you. This is a new commandment. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathes upon the church on that first day of the resurrection. He breathes His Spirit upon us and says, thereby you will not love one another by your own power, but you will love one another as I have loved you, because now I have given you the gift of my love. And so it is my love, my life within you, by which you will love one another. Therefore, they'll know that you're my disciples when you lay down your lives for each other, as I have laid my life down for you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now go and love one another. A new commandment, a new pattern, a new standard. And it is the standard of the cross. It is that self-sacrifice. So that we can look, and we hear, and in the church, we know that He has given us not just the Eucharist as the sign of His love, but that second reading from the book of Revelation has to be one of the most beautiful readings in all of Scriptures. I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride to meet her husband. And so the church would say to us today, and look to your right and your left, look at you husbands and wives. This is what it means to love. Look to your moms and dads. Look to those who are faithfully living the sacrament of matrimony. That's how God loves us. To lay down your life, to give your all so that others might have life. This is the love of Jesus. This is the pattern. And now this husband and wife is for us the icon, the reminder that this is how you are to love. This way they'll know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, my love, to love as I have loved you.